Grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us together in worship today. So today, from all of our readings, we find a subject regarding persistence. So we want to spend a little bit of time this morning talking about that. I feel that the subject is important because one of the schemes of the evil one is to get God's people caught up into believing that Christianity now exists in the modern era. And so there is a new age theory on how it is orchestrated. So many Christians today have moved away from what they term as the old system and leaning toward what they see as the new. What they would consider today as old are things like church attendance, Bible studies, Sunday school, prayer, the preaching of a solid biblical truth. They consider these as old-time religion. And so people do not find any kind of passion in these things any longer. What is new today would be things like people go to ceremonies at the church. Ceremonies like baptism and Thanksgiving services and Christmas and weddings and funerals. So people see the church as a place to go for these kind of things. According to a survey done by Religious News Service in 2013, it says that more than half of Americans think the Bible has too little influence on a culture, and only one in five Americans read it today. Sunday school has been substituted for sports, you know, on Sunday morning, and prayer or prayer meetings are no longer a discussion in church gatherings any longer. And so these are facts, and the facts that sets the stage for our sermon this morning. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus saw, looking into the future, when he asked the question found in our gospel text this morning, in Luke chapter 18, verse 8b, when he says, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Is the question that closed our gospel text this morning. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The reason why our Lord is looking into the future of the church and asking this question is because faith is the life of the church. Faith is the life of the church, and Paul states that very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, where he says, "We live by faith and not by sight." We live by faith and not by sight. Faith is the life of the church. In other words, just as we need food for the body, we need faith for the spirit. If the spirit of man is not fed by faith, the spirit of man is going to die. The spirit of man is going to diminish. The spirit of man will not have the capacity to do the things of God. It is very important that the word of God comes first in the life of every believer. Because without this word, my friends, we are nothing in the spirit. Without this word, we are just like a ship on the sea without a sail, drifted in every direction. It is the kind of situation that we find today in the world that we find ourselves in. The question comes is, how do we receive faith? And Paul answers this question in Romans 10, verse 17, where he says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And the question that comes to all of us this morning, what are we hearing as Christians? Because what we are hearing is what's going to shape the way we are performing. What are we hearing? It's very important. We live in a society today where we are hearing noises from every direction. And we are hearing, people giving us advices from every direction. The question is, how are we, using what we are receiving? What are we hearing today? What we're hearing is shaping who we are. We see that in our children. We see that in the culture that we find ourselves in today. The Bible tells us that faith only comes through one means. It doesn't come through our psychological ideas. It doesn't come through humanistic views of life. It doesn't come through the changes that happens in society. It doesn't come because of the time we are living in and the new era we find ourselves in. Faith comes not by any of these means. Faith comes only by hearing, and hearing one thing, the word of the living God. What are we hearing today, my friends? What is it that we are hearing? It shapes who we are. What we hear shapes who we are. Listen to what Paul says again from our second reading this morning. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, he reads, he says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Now, this text was written somewhere in A.D. 67, when Paul was in Rome in jail, and he's writing to young Timothy and giving him advice about how he needs to carry out his life. But he's telling him that the word of God is something that you cannot do away with. It is very important that as you carry out your ministry, that the word of God becomes the primary thing that you do. Teach the word to the people. And he's saying this, he says, because there is going to come a time. I'm telling you, 67 AD, he's saying there is going to come a time. And I truly believe that we are in that time now, because it is about 1,949 years ago when Paul said those exact words. We are living in the time that he talked about many, many, many years ago. We live in a time where people want to not hear the word of God any longer. So today is speaking to you on the subject, the principles of persistent faith. Let's together see some of the things that the church needs to know. The first thing we want to talk about this morning is the church needs to know God. The church needs to know God. This is from our second reading again in 2 Timothy 3:16, where Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This I consider the first requirement for living out the Christian life of faith. This is the first requirement. The reason is because our ignorance to the word of God is keeping us exposed more and more to myths and lies. It's because we are so ignorant to the word of God. And this is what Satan wants. This is what the devil wants. His attack against the word of God have become even more evident today than ever before. He's attacking God's word from every end, even in the pulpits today. We don't hear much about Jesus Christ from many pulpits today. You don't hear much about the one who was crucified on the cross to bring us redemption. You don't hear much about sin anymore. You don't hear much about hell anymore from pulpits. Pastors will preach words that will suit the itching ears of their congregation members. But God wants us to hear the truth, because the only way man can be set free is by the truth that comes from the living word of God. And this is what some of us have pledged our lives to doing. It is to preach God's word in season and preach God's word out of season. And let men know that sin is horrible. And let men know that there is a place called hell. And let all men know that it is because of this very reason that God sent his son into this world. And he came in and he was hung high and stretched wide to bring redemption to all mankind. That's the message of the gospel, and it's a message that everyone ought to know at all times, because Satan is attacking the church from every angle. This was the primary reason why the pilgrims came to this land, for freedom of liberty, as it was called, in order to freely live out the Christian faith. It is the reason why they left from England and came to this country. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, listen, it expects what never has been and never will be." What he is saying is, when people are ignorant, they quickly go into bondage. All right? Our ignorance of who God is leaves us in bondage to the snare of Satan. All right? And then we see this everywhere through the history of the Bible, beginning from the very Garden of Eden, when he went and talked to Eve in that garden. And her ignorance to knowing who God truly is, she went and agreed with the devil's idea. And so a church that doesn't really know who God is a church that we always listen for a second opinion. But we have to understand, my friends, that the Bible tells us that faith only comes by hearing the word of God. If we profess to be Christians and people of faith, then it means that we need to be living out and acting out our faith in our daily living. This is very important. We hear politicians today calling themselves people of faith, but we really don't see that faith. It is something that is being pronounced, but something that we don't see in the lifestyle. Because if faith was in the lifestyle, it would try to change everything else. The actions, the decisions they make would change because of what is inside of them. And this is why God is asking us to have faith and to allow ourselves to be governed by that faith. Live by faith and not by sight. The second point in our sermon this morning is the church don't only need to know God, but the church needs to believe God. This comes from the gospel text this morning, Luke 18, verse 3. It says, "And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" The first thing to notice from this text is this widow was very vulnerable. Because she was a widow, all right? And being a widow meant that she didn't have a husband. And being a widow in that time meant that she was poor. She was weak. She needed help. She had no one to help her. And she kept coming at this judge because she knew that this judge was able to help her. And so she kept going to him. When you look at the widow's story, you see us. This is us right here. When you look at our lives in the spiritual realm from a spiritual perspective, my friends, without God, we are not able to fight the devil, the evil one. We have no strength against him. He is our adversary. And we need God. And the only way we can do this is to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming to God. And this is the reason why the church exists. And some of us wonder why we are here every week. We have to come because we have no choice. When it comes to spiritual thing, God is the only one who is able. He is the only one who has the strength to redeem us from the snare of the evil one. He is the only one who is able because he is the Alpha and the Omega. Means the beginning and the end, the first and the last. All right? He is the only one who has the power to stand in our stead and bring us liberty. He is the only one. We have no one else to go to. So we come to him and we keep coming and we keep coming because he is the only one who is able to help us. And this is our story when we look at this widow's story. Let's zero in on the phrase, who kept coming. Acting based on that, she's acting based on what she knows about this judge. And this lady, to some extent, is stalking this guy just because she knows he is the only one who is able to help her. She's following him everywhere. Every place he goes, there is the widow there. Following him because she knew he was the only one who was able to help her. What this suggests to us also is that our belief must be the driver of our actions. What we believe must drive our action, and it should steer us toward God. This is what the text is telling us. I know that in this parable, Jesus is talking about being persistent in prayer, but he's also saying that our prayer life becomes strengthened when we know whom we are praying to and what we are to be praying about. It is very important that we know whom we are praying to and what we are to be praying about. The reason why this widow kept going after this judge was because she knew that the judge was able to help her. And she kept going to him for this one thing that she knew he had to give to her. And this is the same kind of situation when it comes to us. We come to God because we know he is the only one who is able to save us from our sins. He is the only one who is able to give us redemption. He is the only one who is able to give us new life in God. So we come to him. And as we come, we must be asking for what we know he's able to give to us. That's why Paul said in one of his epistles, he says, we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to pray for in the book of Romans. But that the Spirit of God intercedes for us because we don't know what to pray for. This is important. It is important that we know whom we are believing in. The last thing is the church needs to trust God. Look in Genesis. This is in our Old Testament text. Genesis 32, 24 through 26. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. This is from our first reading this morning. So Jacob is wrestling with this man who happened to be an angel of God, and they wrestled all night. And the guy wants to go, but he's holding on to him. And he says, I'm not going to let you go. So the guy hit the socket of his hip and took it out of socket. He's in pain, and he's going through this struggle with his body, but yet he's holding on to this guy because he trusts that this guy is the only person that is able to bring him blessing as he's going through whatever his situation is at that moment. He's holding on. He's trusting. Okay, and this is what trust is all about. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey God. So when a Christian truly learns to trust God, it doesn't matter what is going on around him or her, he will keep holding on to God. You keep holding on even when with a dislocated hip, you keep holding on to God. Jacob trusted God no matter what the situation is or was. We live in a time now where there is reason to be asking God so many questions when we look around us and see the things that are happening in society. But friends, more so, this is the time to be trusting God even more. This is not the time to be trusting in anything or drifting away. This is the time to be trusting God more and more. The one who trusts God is the one who is not just responding to the changes around him. Like the child who is holding on to his mother as he or she faces terror. It's what we're talking about here. We need to trust God in all circumstances. See, the one who trusts God is the one who knows who God is. The one who knows that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever is the one who trusts God. Yes, we live in a time of great uncertainty, yet we remain certain that He is certain. Yes, we live in a time of great changes, yet we remain confident that He never changes. We live in a time of a faithless generation, yet we remain faithful because we know that He is faithful. And so these are the things that drive our faith. As we move on with God, we allow His word to become the reason why we exist and nothing else. And I pray this morning that as we have received God's word, that His words will strengthen our faith and keep us steadfast in God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen.